December 1st, 2025. Welcome to This Week in Waukesha, the podcast series brought to you by Civic Media in cooperation with WAUK Radio, 101.1 FM and 540 AM. I am your host, Don Brown, and I'm coming to you from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown in our beloved Banting Park home. I'm joined, as always, by my faithful and extraordinary young producer, the mighty Max Martinson, working from the comfort of his home in the Cream City, close to the MATC campus, where he still engages in a lot of really fun and exciting projects post-graduation. And Max is responsible for tonight's podcast in more ways than one, and not just his technical and digital capabilities. While Max was covering the No Kings March, what was the date of that again? About a month ago or more than a month ago? Like, was it mid-October? I want to say it was before Halloween. But it's not to say that I certainly didn't forget how well attended it was. I was at the one in Waukesha and was blown away by the attendance there at Cutler Park. But tonight's guest, Max, met while he was covering the bigger No Kings March in Milwaukee, and I'm really pleased to have them here. This is, they represent Waukesha County, you know, Indivisible Waukesha County East. Did I get that right? Thank you.
You did.
So, and they, I'm really honored to have Dr. Ann Herrera Ward and Katie Kuhn. Did I pronounce your, is it Kuhn or Kuhn? How do you pronounce it?
It's Keen.
Keen, I'm sorry.
Yep, that's okay.
So,
it's all right.
Not as hard to pronounce as Brown with the silent E. So I know that. No, I wish. So, well, thank you again for joining. This has been a long time in the making, and I'm glad we were able to put this together. And again, really grateful to Max for stopping by your booth or your table at the No Kings March. And so I guess a good simple question is, what is Indivisible Waukesha County East?
Well, Don, first of all, thank you for inviting us to the show tonight. And, you know, when you say Banting Park, that has a special place in my heart because I grew up on DeWitt Court and
all right,
went to Banting School right when it was first opened back okay. in the late 60s, early 70s. So nice. I spent a lot of time in that area. It reminds me sure. of my childhood. So,
If I remember correctly, and DeWitt Court is kind of like, there's a crosswalk there between Banting and Horning, and you're going down Manhattan, right? Or not Manhattan.
Greenway Terrace.
Greenway Terrace, excuse me. And it's that first left if you're coming from the schools.
Yeah.
So you would probably know, I forget her maiden name, but Brenda Schaefer grew up in that same cul-de-sac, seemingly around the same time. I forget her maiden name, but. We just saw her a couple Saturdays. We knew her, our daughters played softball together for many years and they remain good friends.
Oh my goodness. I mean, I knew everybody on that cul-de-sac, Don. I mean, that's where I rode my banana bike all through that area. And, I'm sure that if I knew Brenda's maiden name, I would probably know her. There was the upper DeWitt and then the lower DeWitt.
Okay.
We were on the lower DeWitt court.
Got it. So. Yeah, Brenda's father and her brother have been involved in Waukesha's youth wrestling program.
Oh, cool.
For quite some time, too. Yeah, okay. So it's neat. She knows. She's actually very responsible for putting a lot of my interviews together. She knows everybody. So I'm sure you guys will, your paths will cross and they'll
figure
sure it out.
I'm sure they will. But, you know, Waukesha's a pretty big, small town when you get down to it, isn't
just
it?
Just like Milwaukee itself, yeah. So
exactly.
For sure.
Yep.
Sure.
Yep. So, all right, let me tell you a little bit about Indivisible. Yeah. So there's a national organization and then we are one of the smaller organizations, and I'll start with the national organization. Basically, Indivisible National believes that democracy is by and for the people, and that there's been a multi-decade MAGA takeover of American government that needs to be defeated. It's really that simple. Mm-hmm. That they started in 2017 after Trump's first election and have been going pretty strong ever since. It was two congressional staffers Ezra Levin and Leah Greenberg. These guys worked, I believe, in the House of Representatives on a member's staff.
Okay.
And they saw how strong leaders, strong groups can make for strong movements. They also knew how to get inside, how the power structures inside government work.
Yeah.
Because they saw, you know, they were on member staff and they felt like something needed to be done to push back against what we now know to be the slide towards authoritarianism.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the national group. And it really is just it's a really interesting organization. One I've never, the structure I've never really experienced before. They count on their local groups like Individual Waukesha County East. There's Grassroots Germantown. There's Menominee Falls, just in Waukesha County. And then there's many more nationwide. And they count on these smaller groups to know and understand the local issues. And they provide the structure. They provide advice on organizing. But then they let the local groups go and do what they think is needed in their local communities to try and push back on authoritarianism. So we've been together as Indivisible Waukesha County East since June. We're really new. And I'll read you our purpose statement. We do have one.
Thank you. Yes.
So Individual Waukesha County East members are nonpartisan, pro-democracy activists working to fight authoritarianism across political and partisan divides. We build and wield power by collaborating with local Wisconsin-based groups in executing unified pro-democracy goals throughout eastern suburban areas of Waukesha County. We hold elected officials accountable through collective constituent power that comes from working together as indivisibles.
Okay. Interesting.
And that's our purpose statement. And like it can mean a lot of different things.
Yeah.
It's kind of loose depending on what the needs of the community are at any given time. And like I said, we're fairly new, but that's the direction we're heading in.
Sure, sure. Well, I'm glad you mentioned nonpartisan, because it also reminded me that for those listening, December 1st, today that we're recording this podcast, is today's when people can officially get their paperwork if they're running for a local office. And I encourage those to go out there and make a difference, even if you don't think you have a chance to win. It's really important to be a part of that experience. I'm glad that I did it. I wish I could do it again. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe somewhere down the road in the future, the stars may align. But it's exciting to be a part of that process and to engage with your neighbors. And, you know, that was my goal when I did serve on the city council, was to build a more connected community, starting with my own neighborhood. And I'd organize like quarterly events. And it was exciting to see people meet that have lived in our neighborhood for they built their homes there more than 50 years ago. And sometimes right around the corner, and they'd never met until they attended like one of my events. And it's the more people get to know each other, the more trust is established, and the more they can count on each other. And so it's great to hear that an organization like yours that's affiliated with a national organization is doing some good things at the local level. So,
right.
Now I did have some difficulties finding out about your careers or your backgrounds. And I did learn that, Anne, that you're a lecturer/coordinator of the Carroll Education Network and an adjunct instructor in graduate education. Is that correct?
That was in my career, yes. I'll give you the elevator summary.
Thank you.
So I'm a civics and government teacher. I worked in high schools for 20 years.
Okay.
And then I did a PhD in democracy ed from UW and moved into the university where I worked at Carroll for a couple years. I worked at Marquette. And then I ended my career as teaching faculty at UW-Madison. And I retired in 2023. And here I am now organizing and working with Indivisible. This is sort of like my little retirement thing, but I'm also, I still teach online. I still teach civics through Wisconsin Virtual School. It's my little passion project that I'll probably never give up.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So I still do that.
Sure. That's terrific. And it took, now this obviously seems like a natural fit for you, Anne, to be involved in Indivisible. How about with you, Katie? How did you become involved?
Yeah, I actually have no experience whatsoever in any kind of political activism or anything.
Okay.
Really just kind of felt compelled to get involved. I've worked 23 years in the healthcare industry, in technology as a process engineer.
Sure.
And I just joined up with the team, and it's been a really great experience. I think it's important for people to understand that, you know, even though you don't have background in this kind of stuff, and maybe all of it is brand new, a lot of the skill sets that we have translate pretty easily into this, and can be super helpful.
Sure.
So it's been a really good experience.
And so is it fair to say, Katie, that what's going on in politics currently impacts people in the professions that you're in and kind of that?
Yeah, 100%. And I have young children, so for me, I think it's even more important now for us to stand up and, you know, really kind of stop what's happening and slow the roll. I think it's difficult for people in our age group to do this, though, because, you know, all of our kids have all these evening activities and, you know, we're going from here to there to other places. But with technology the way it is, where you can be constantly connected in some capacity with a team like this, it's really afforded us the ability to work strategically together. So it's been really great.
Terrific. And, you know, it's a real eureka moment for me this year is really discovering that our information, the news that we get, it's so channeled that people just, and I think that explains a lot of the world views and the notion that very logical, educated, seemingly educated people have bought into the MAGA platform, if you will, or can easily reconcile with it, which is very disturbing to me. But I learned something last summer while we were on vacation in Colorado. And it's I've developed a little two-question straw poll, especially for the young people. And question number one is, before he was assassinated, did you know who Charlie Kirk was? And an overwhelming majority said yes. And then my second question is, had you ever heard of the Irish rock band U2? In a very high majority of these young people said no. Who? What? You know, like, and it just it begs, like, how are people being educated? How, like, what is it they're being exposed to? Like, what? I mean, how? What are their sources? What are their channels of information? I mean, my parents were 36 when I was born, and so they're kind of maybe a generation and a half ahead of me. But I was familiar with the music that preceded me. I mean, obviously there was a lot of rock and roll in between, but, you know, even a fair amount of the jazz and the other, like, pop culture music and Frank Sinatra, I knew who Frank Sinatra was, you know what I mean? But it's like, it's just frightening how disparate news is being disseminated, news and other type and pop culture, you know, information and trends and all this other stuff that I think it contributes to why we have a very polarizing society. Does Indivisible have an answer for that, or is that something that you've identified too and are looking to address?
Well, Indivisible definitely has an answer to that, and it's kind of the answer that we all know and understand, which is that there's no unbiased media anymore. There's no such thing as unbiased media. And we teach this as a civics teacher. Media literacy is one of the really important things that we teach. And one of the things we recommend is that people have what they call a media diet. You know, like you have a diet for food.
Sure.
Well, you have to have a diet for media. And you have to know that when you listen to Fox News, that is conservative. When you listen to MSNBC, that is liberal.
Yeah.
And you should have a diet of all different kinds of ideas, and listening to one broadcast news only is going to give you a really unfair and unrealistic viewpoint.
Sure. Now, I have, you know, since I've been involved in civic media, I regret that I haven't been inactive as active of a listener to NPR. I'm a huge fan of NPR, but with all the government cuts, I don't know how it's affected the programming, but I believe, and I'd love your feedback on this, Anne and Katie, is I always believed that that was a very objective source of media. And it was one of my best friends in college who was a, you know, dyed-in-the-wool conservative Republican. He's the one who turned me on to it, because growing up in Shelby, Michigan, you know, in the western part of the state, population 5,000, NPR public radio was your source for news and an objective source. And a lot of the sponsors, or the, I should say not sponsors, but the foundations that fund it were conservative family foundations, or at least more capital, you know, like Kauffman Foundation, and I forget some of the others. But I'd always felt that it really gave you both sides, or as many sides of the equation on a certain issue or debate. And I always felt that to be very enriching. But what's the status of that now, given all the government cuts? I mean, can people still have access to a lot of that programming?
Sure. You know, I know that NPR, I'm not an NPR expert, but I know that NPR is still on the radio. They got a big donation from Joan Kroc about 10 years ago, $200 million she left in her estate. And so they're okay financially, but NPR is a liberal news outlet. And I would encourage you, Don, to take a look at a website called allsides.com.
Allsides.com.
Allsides.com. That's what I use exclusively in my teaching. Whenever I have to refer to news, I go to All Sides, because as teachers, we don't want to be accused of being too liberal or too conservative. Yeah. I try to go right down the middle. And they've got a media bias chart there, and it's pretty accurate. And so you can really see all the different broadcast and print news outlets.
Okay.
And it'll show you where they fall on the spectrum.
Okay.
So you can pick. You know, you could say, I think I want, today I'm going to listen to NPR, and tomorrow I'm going to listen to Fox, and, you know, I'm going to see what all the different stories or outlets say about a news story.
Okay. Sounds good. I'm grateful that you're willing to stick around for the second part of this podcast, because we still have a lot to unpack here. In the final 2 minutes of this first segment, like, what would be a good kind of finisher for you about Indivisible? That'd be a good lead into the next segment.
Katie, maybe you want to talk to Don a little bit about some of the things that we've been doing.
Yes.
And just kind of whet everybody's appetite for the second part of the podcast.
There we go.
Sure. So beyond the No Kings involvement that we've done, which our leader, Dan Kaysen, has been highly involved in, we've been working. One of our focuses has been on due process and immigrants. So we have some work that we've been doing in Palmyra, which is really exciting, and we'll tell you more about that. And we're also we have some connections that we're making with other immigrant community groups that we are going to come up with some new and exciting things early next year. And we also have a speaker, Mayor Riley from Waukesha, is going to be coming.
The Honorable Sean Riley?
Yep. So that'll be exciting. So we have a lot on our list, and we'll talk a little bit more about that, but that's some of it.
It is great to see the mayor get involved, especially given his... I was on the council when he announced to the world that he was leaving the Republican Party, and the Rileys have been involved in the GOP for more than two generations easily. And you know, after the January 6th attacks, that Shauna just felt so indignant, and it really caught world attention. So, and I'm glad the path that he's chosen. He's very and I've kind of gone down, I'm very, very nonpartisan. I mean, I guess you could say I lean left, but there are, you know, it's so hard to put anyone in a single like drawer based, you know, values and political beliefs. And in politics, oftentimes it is the art of compromise, and a lot of good things can get done when people are willing to work together. And it just seems so, so disparate that, like I said, I'm really glad there's people like you in the world that are working at the local level and getting people more involved. And hopefully we can, you know, we can build from that. And it's one of my mottos for this show. And Max, you should have yelled at me for not. I always talk about acting locally, thinking globally, and it's kind of how I lead. And in Indivisible, Waukesha County East is a great example of that. So how are we doing on time here, Max? Okay, well, that's still for podcast number two with Ann Ward and Katie Kuhn of Indivisible, Waukesha County East. And we're going to learn more about how you can get involved and how you can be active in your community and just really become better informed. So thanks for sticking around to This Week in Waukesha podcast one. Now stick around for podcast number two.